Outback Broadcasting live at the State House in Montpelier. You can join us at 244-1777, toll-free 877-291-8255. Moment of your time for our friends at Jet Service Envelope. If you're looking for an outstanding local internet service provider, make it our friends at gmavt.net. You can call them toll-free at 1-888-321-0815. And they're on the web at gmavt.net. We were just talking with Governor Shumlin about drug policy. Joining us right now, it's Scuba Nice Farm Radio Vermont. Welcome this morning to Chittenden County Senator David Zuckerman, a Prague D from Burlington. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate
So this study that came out last Friday talking about the legalization of marijuana, you're going to be introducing a bill that says what?
Well, it's going to be a fairly detailed bill to put in a framework for how to allow Vermonters to grow small quantities for themselves, how to have a Vermont-regulated production and sales system for folks that aren't going to grow it themselves, but keep it well-regulated so that we track production and sales, that there isn't product going into the underground market, and work to bring a sane policy around a drug that we all recognize is both, consumed by plenty of adults as it is today, and unfortunately some youth. It's got some bad side effects, certainly, as do various other drugs we allow in society, like tobacco or alcohol, although, frankly, it's less addictive. And the idea would be we can probably manage this better in a regulated manner with the state involved rather than leaving it in an underground market where the same person dealing marijuana is also dealing some other drugs that we've all obviously been talking about the last few years, and really separate that relationship so that someone who is going to use marijuana doesn't necessarily then get into a relationship with someone who's going to try to get them to use harder drugs.
How much of the motivation here involves money, raising revenue?
I've been talking about this topic for over 10 years, and I've certainly indicated to different folks like the ski industry and others that I thought we'd probably actually have more people visiting the state to go skiing, so I think it would help our economy in a number of ways. But frankly, the primary motivation for me is about better regulating a substance that's commonly used in our society, and certainly there's the ancillary benefit of potential revenues. I know you're talking about this with Governor Shumlin, and I would echo and reiterate what he said, which is that it's not the kind of thing where if we pass a bill right now, we would have revenues to help with the budget next year. It's going to take a lot of time for rules to come up, the buildings and the facilities to produce it, and the sales framework. So I think the revenues are certainly a little ways out in any case.
What's the connection here that you're drawing with the ski areas? I mean, are you suggesting, I didn't get that.
Well, I mean, ultimately, skiers was just one example, but certainly,
More people smoke pot that ski or something? Or
no, it was just one, we have a large tourism industry for a range of reasons in Vermont, but if you do look south, there's a lot of folks that come to Vermont to go skiing, and some of those people are smokers, some of them are not. But those that are, if they're considering going skiing in New York or Vermont or New Hampshire or Maine, if we had a legal and regulated system, they might be more likely to come to Vermont. So you add 100,000 or 200,000 skier days, that's not only just a tax revenue scenario, but frankly, it's an economy booster. The rooms that are rented, the restaurants that are eaten at, the equipment that's purchased at the ski shop. So there's a lot of different ways where it can actually help our economy far beyond what the strict revenues from sales of marijuana would be.
Would you envision that the state would market itself somehow as friendly to this?
No, I don't think we would actually need to do that very much. I think there's enough media coverage of this sort of thing that people that are interested in utilizing or that do utilize today, I think they would understand.
The governor's main point that I heard him say today and at other times is this whole idea that while he's inclined towards it is what he says, but he wants other people to kind of work out the bugs here. What's wrong with that argument?
Well, I don't think there's necessarily something wrong with that argument. I think we are learning from other states, and certainly I know Senator Sears put a bill in on the medical use side around edibles, and we'll certainly be addressing that in our legislation that I'd be introducing and that hopefully over the next year or so the bodies would be reviewing. So there's amazing lessons to learn from Colorado, and I'm sure there would be more from other states. But also we can look back at other things where we have led the way in policy, whether it was marriage equality issues or medical use issues. And in both of those scenarios, we actually have a very methodical process here. We can look at the different issues. We look at reasonable Vermont ways of addressing them. You know, we have one of the more conservative medical use laws. And I think the bill that ultimately will pass on legalization and regulation, it will also be significantly more conservative than the sort of freewheeling Colorado model. So we've got those lessons, we're learning them, and we also have our own intelligence to work from, and there's plenty of good minds to put together here.
What's freewheeling in Colorado?
Well, just, I don't know how many cannabis shops, but I think they're on, you know, every street corner just about. And, you know, I don't think that's what Vermonters imagine being as the scenario. Maybe we would have 20 or 30, you know, retail shops in Vermont. So it's not something that's just on every corner where, you know, some of the message to kids is, look, everybody is doing it. I mean, we did learn from the RAND report that 60 to 100,000 Vermonters have used it within the last month, and it might be different Vermonters. You know, maybe someone uses it only every 6 months, but six different people using it every 6 months is one in the last month. And
are you going to put a model in your bill of how it would be distributed and sold?
Yeah, I'm still working out the last details. The RAND report really did come up with a range of options from straight free market to fully government run, and both of those at the extremes have some pretty serious challenges and problems. So it's going to be somewhere in the middle, probably regulated B Corp type scenario where there's multiple bottom lines for these companies. It's going to be, you know, I think having state employees actually selling is a really bad idea, because then you put a state employee in conflict with federal law. I think that's pushing it. We'll have different limits on in-state residents' purchase amounts that they could buy versus out-of-state because of some federal reports or federal memos about making sure it's more of a state issue, not an interstate commerce. So, you know, there's a lot of those kinds of details in the bill.
Do you envision that whoever's selling it, would there be any sort of regulation of the price?
I don't know that there would be a regulation on the price. We certainly, that's one of the balance figures of making sure there's enough retail places that there's price competition, but also there will be a tax affiliated so that we can adequately monitor the production and the sale of the product. We can put money towards drug prevention and drug rehabilitation needs in the state of Vermont, you know, because we're being practical. We're not saying this is good for everyone. The addiction rates are lower for marijuana than some other drugs. Some of the ramifications from marijuana, especially with young people using it, can be pretty severe in terms of long-term health consequences. So we want to make sure we get adequate information to younger people about why this is something that adults use recreationally on occasion, but not something that people should just be using every day, or the way tobacco is used, or even the way alcohol is used. But I also think it's something that could potentially reduce domestic violence, in that, you know, it's pretty clearly shown alcohol leads to a lot of domestic violence scenarios, and there's not a lot of evidence showing marijuana does the same thing. In fact, if anything, there's evidence showing the other. And anybody who either has smoked or been around people that smoke recognize that it isn't something that gets you in a more aggressive manner. I've smoked. I'm not afraid to admit it. I've turned into and remained, I think, a productive member in our society. I've got a business with 14 employees in the summer. So, you know, I think it's something that, you know, if we talk about honestly, we can have a better scenario for our culture.
Moment of your time for our friends at Jet Service Envelope, an outstanding local printer. You'll find them in Southbury, and you'll find them at the end of this phone number, 229-9335, 229-9335. You can have everything printed there, from your memoirs. You can get books published there, and calendars. Also, those great trifold brochures with their trifold brochure machine. Yes, they have one for that. And they can crank out envelopes 60,000 in an hour. That machine is incredible. Give them a call today at 229-9335, and you'll find them on the web at jetservice-envelope.com. Let's go to Underhill. Sam, good morning. How are you today? Sam, good morning. Are you there? All right, not hearing you, dude. All right, give us a call at 244-1777, toll-free 877-291-8255. Are you going to have public hearings on this? What's the game plan here on this?
I'm not the chair of the committee, so of any of the committees of jurisdiction. In fact, not chair of any committee, so I don't I don't make that determination, but I know that Senator White is interested in having a couple of hearings from the RAND folks to get deeper into the details. She's chair of the Government Operations Committee, and ultimately that's one of the big areas of jurisdiction is probably government operations and judiciary, and then one of the tax committees. So it's certainly a long process to make sure we get this done right.
You think it could happen this year?
You know, I think if there was incredible drive from the public and if all pieces fell into the right place. But, you know, we do have a lot of significant issues to take care of that the voters have, you know, made clear to us through the fall votes and just communicating with us. So I don't think it's many of my colleagues' number one priority, and I think that's reasonable. So, you know, I think it would be great if we could do it in 1 year. I think realistically it's probably more like a two-year process.
Let's go to Craftsbury. Frank, how are you doing this morning?
Mark, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Hi, Dave.
Hello.
Hey, I was just wondering, you talk about sane policies and appropriate regulation around legalizing marijuana. I'm just wondering, would you agree that now is the time to also look at sane policies and appropriate regulation around the sale of raw milk? And also, I'm curious that in your bill, are you going to require that people who smoke marijuana also visit the marijuana patch before they buy the marijuana?
Thank you, Frank. I appreciate it. Frank's been into the State House a number of times. He is a raw milk producer and a strong advocate for his business. You know, we've been expanding raw milk sales in Vermont relatively methodically for much of the time that I've been here at the State House. And, you know, sometimes things don't go as fast as some folks want. I do know that this last year we passed a law to try to expand some of the sales at farmers markets. And Frank, I know you were concerned about that because we did say folks still had to visit the farm once before they could buy it at the market. There are other aspects of that bill that have led to some of the state agencies producing some more conservative looks at the testing on tier two producers, and we're going to look at that to back that off some. So we're trying to address some of those concerns, Frank.
Let's go to Underhill. Sam, good morning.
Yes, I hope I don't get disconnected this time.
We got you.
Go ahead.
Still with you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, age limit. I know we have 21 for drinking. Would you still consider that with the marijuana? And the other thing I would like to request is at some point in time, when will we bring the age limit back to 18 and take these kids out of the back rooms where they're drinking and doing other things that got them screwed up into other areas?
Thank you for your call.
Biggest problem.
Okay, I think I got to interrupt you, but thank you. We got your message here.
So, I'm looking at 21 for a number of reasons, both in terms of physiological development and also to parallel some of it with being more in the adult category. And it also, the challenge with 18 is you have some 18-year-olds who are in high school, and so that actually produces a lot of access to whether it be alcohol or marijuana eventually to younger folks in high school. But I also do think we've got some really misguided policies around alcohol. When I was growing up, my mom said, I know you're going to drink, so I'd rather have you drink a beer or a glass of wine with us around the table so you get a feel for what it does. And nowadays, parents can get, you know, thrown in jail practically for if something happens after that. And I think that has led to, you know, it's sort of that same prohibitionist model where we actually could learn how to use these things responsibly rather than have it be, you know, go into the back room, like you said, and swig half a bottle of Jack Daniels, which doesn't really lead to good results by anybody's standards. So I think you make some really good points.
Thanks for your time this morning. I appreciate it. Senator David Zuckerman, we'll take a quick break. We'll be back to wrap up right after this.
We here in Vermont do things a bit different. We're a special and hardy breed. And which ones of us don't know someone who's been affected by cancer? To celebrate our uniqueness and those with cancer, past and present, the American Cancer Society is holding its 12th annual Relay for Life Nordic Style. It's where you can cross-country ski, snowshoe, or walk to help find a cure for cancer. The event is March 21st and 22nd at Trapp Family Lodge from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. We do it overnight because cancer never sleeps. So for one night, neither do we. Help raise funds with your team, by joining a team, or even by yourself. And those funds go to cancer research and those battling the disease right here in Vermont. If you'd like to sign up, go to relayforlife.org/NordicStyleVT and help those right here in Vermont with cancer fight the good fight. and like them on Facebook at facebook.com/NordicStyleVT.
Formula Nissan in Barrie is celebrating a record year of saving customers money, and the savings continue. Jack Castellaneta, is it true other dealers are complaining they can't compete with your simpler is cheaper pricing?
If those other dealers can't make buying a new car fun and easy, that's not my problem, and don't make it yours. At Formula Nissan, we make it simple to drive a new car, and simpler is cheaper.
But it's not just lower prices, Jack. You've got a great selection.
Because we sell more Nissans, we get more from the factory. You'll find all the selection you need right here.
$4,000, $5,000, even $6,000 right off the MSRP. Jack, these prices are less than we can find anywhere, even on the internet.
All Nissans are built the same, but only the ones at Formula Nissan in Barrie cost less. No matter where you've been or what you've been offered, you'll do better at Formula Nissan.
Formula Nissan, Barrie Montpelier Road next to Pizza Hut and at FormulaNissan.com.
Let us show you how easy it is to do business here.
All right, back at the State House, wrapping things up here for another Friday. Thanks for joining us on the program. If you ever miss any of our programs during the course of the week, I don't know why you would, and I don't know where you are. I mean, maybe you actually have a job or something, but we do make available the programs via podcast. You can get to those through our program website. That's at markjohnsonshow.com. Also, a reminder, coming up next week on the program, we're going to be broadcasting live Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We'll be at the Vermont Farm Show in Essex Junction. Be great to have you stop on down and say howdy. Among the guests that will be joining us, Dr. Metz, veterinarian extraordinaire, will be joining us on the program coming up on Wednesday. And on Monday, we'll talk more about this pot report that we were just talking about with Senator Zuckerman. Have a great weekend, everybody. Come back and join us same time, same place on Monday. Safe travels if you're out on the roads. This is FM 96.1 WDEV Warren, broadcasting from the top of Sugar Bush and AM 550 WDEV Waterbury Montpelier. News coming your way next.